The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com, the 2015 Basher Cash and Smash It Demolition Derby, Fort Lockwood Motorsports, and the 2015 Keystone National, Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com, and Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Hey, it's Chris with the Crash Course Podcast. You answered the phone too quick. Hang on a second. I got to start the show.
Oh. That's a new one. We've never done that before.
No, that's new.
Let me guess. That's Steve.
That's Steve Sciopa.
He's very punctual. You told him to start. We call it six. Well, it was six on the dot.
He is in the process of trying to get to a National Honor Society meeting dinner. So I told him that we would be right on time at 6 o'clock. And sure enough, when I dialed him the first time, the show intro was still playing. So then.
So you hung up on him?
No, I didn't. No, went to some weird voicemail thing over there, but we've got them now. But yes, this is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, fresh off of a great night at the Brookville Super Stock Spectacular, the kickoff of the Reckless Warriors Tour. Had a ball out there. Steve Sciopa coming away with the win, and that I know he's got a tight schedule, so only keep him for a few minutes. We'll jump right into it. Brian Tompkins is here in studio along with Ben Host and Josh Decker. Steve, man, congratulations on the win. How much fun was that?
Oh man, that was a blast. That was it was actually like a blast from the past at Derby.
Hell yeah!
I love the stock rules, the super stock rules. That was great.
Yep.
It had to be a little bit of a change of pace from what you're used to doing over there in Brookville, seeing as how the bumper was stuffing up into your dashboard.
Oh yeah, it was a welcome change of pace. I mean, it was good. I mean, it brought back memories. It was totally old school. You know, I haven't seen a frame bend A arm forward like that since the 90s. It was nice.
Steve, you don't think that car bending would have been from the fact that your foot was on the floor most of the night, was it?
Oh. See, my buddy told me otherwise. They said I was sandbagging.
Oh, no. I'm here to tell you, I watched all three of the members of the Sciopa family, and you guys were all on the gas. That was awesome to watch. All three of you put on a great show. It was awesome to watch, man.
Well, you started the feature so hard.
Oh, yeah.
You were junking shit.
Oh, yeah.
Then you slowed down. Then you got with the pace for a few minutes. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you could just smell the blood. And you turned it up on the end.
That's what we're saying. We're like, man, the hood got bent up. And Josh and I are going, I'm like, man, I think Steve thinks his front end is worse than what it is.
Because he was straight still. Yeah. But the hood was bent up.
Yeah, it peeled up the hood, yeah.
Then at the end, it didn't.
Yeah, someone actually, you know, signaled me that the frame was good, you know, so... You know, there's like a lot of sign language going on out on the sidelines, and so I kind of knew the bumper was in a good spot, but
yeah, it was.
The hood, hood. At one point towards the end of the Derby, I couldn't see shit. I mean, I couldn't see frontwards, backwards. I was just looking for something that was higher than mine, and I could tell where they were at. So that's how I would hit them.
Was Mike DeFrisha the one telling you that the frame was okay?
No, he wasn't telling me nothing. That's why he gave me a thumbs up. But it's because we were mixing it up pretty good. It was fun. That Derby was a blast.
What a hot streak you've been on, man! Going back to last October, you come away with a top five showing in Woodstock. Then you turn around at New Alex, and you guys have a sweet run down there. You go to Florida, and you guys pull some hardware and cash out of Florida, and now here you are back on the track again, coming away with some hardware.
Yeah, it beats what I've been going through. I mean, I've been in a little bit of a slump, so I'll take this over the slump any day of the week.
Now, just to revisit one topic before we get to Brian's question, when you talked about bringing back memories, you were talking about the damage, not lumping up on Mad Mike, right?
No, it was just my car. I mean, it was just it was good to see the cars bend. I mean, it was that Derby was that was one of my favorite Derbies in a long time. That was great.
Yeah,
it was like old school. You know, everything was pretty much junk unless. You know, you got hung up or something, you left with a good car, but everybody was junk. Even after the heat, there was a lot of junk coming out of the heat.
But they all started so nice.
Oh,
the iron was so nice and then turned such shit later in the night,
know? But yet the feature were like, oh, this feature ain't going to last long.
Everyone said that.
Everybody's car's half toasted, and then it just... Like Steve said, I mean, it's like old school. The driving came out.
Oh yeah,
and it wasn't a 2-hour freaking feature.
Nope. No,
it was I think 40 was a 40 some minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe 50 minutes. 50 minutes, but it was 50 minutes of shit getting junked.
No, yeah. It was a good.
It was no. Feature. It was no idling around and monkey farting around. I mean, they just pretty much laid the hammer down. And Steve, I'm telling you, man, them guys say you were bagging.
No.
Tell them when's the last time. When's the last time they seen them Uke tires almost in the stand?
Yeah. This morning. Told him I took a page out of his book from Virginia. So yeah. Getting a little shit from him, but
dude, you were sending them Uke tires like they were almost to the stands.
Yeah, he hit one and went like 30 feet in one shot, like skidded like a hockey puck right at the people. Holy shit!
You know what was really awesome too, Steve, is Todd was actually sitting up by us as we were doing the podcast, and about halfway through, I looked at him, I said, "You know what's going to come down to Steve and Mad Mike?" He goes, "Yeah, I think you're right." And then it came down to you guys, and he was the proud big brother, man. He's up there watching, and he's bending around and looking to see where everything was going on.
It was the same way at New Alex.
And it got down to the end. It got down to the end. He's like, "That's it!" It took off running for you on the track, man. He was the ultimate happy, proud big brother. Awesome. It was so cool to watch. I mean, you guys are obviously such a tight family, but I mean, you know, that was the first time I got to sit there and watch. And it was funny, too, because he was like right in front of me. He was so happy for you. And it was really cool to see you guys do that.
That's awesome, man. I love it. I mean, it's fun doing it with them guys, Mark and Todd. I mean, you know, me and Mark drawing the same heat, that was great, too.
Yeah, it was.
When one of us are in there with each other, it's, you know, we always know what we're thinking, too. You know, even when Todd's in there, it's just fun when they're in there.
Yeah,
even more fun when it comes down to just us. I mean, because we don't hold back either. We go at it.
You got to give it to Mad Mike, though, too, because I know the crowd. I don't mean personally. Like, when it come down to you two, it's like, hell yeah. Now let's see it.
Because
you both were just like, bam, bam. And Mad Mike was a little bit more mobile, I'd say, with the lighter Vic. But, man, you're a great driver, too. It was fun to watch.
It was.
Mad Mike, man, hats off to him, too, because he drove his ass off. He's a good driver.
I mean, drivetrain.
He definitely, he didn't surprise me. I mean, but. Because I knew he could drive, but man, he was tough. Every time I tried to get an angle on him, I mean, he almost knew what I was thinking.
He's good.
Motor-wise, there was a red line in Mike's car.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And Steve had the Vortec.
Steve, it's not a high dollar. You know, Steve's won. Todd was saying, and Mark was saying, Steve's won thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Todd told me the same thing.
And he's like, it just beat a red light motor. And it's just a Vortec motor. I'm like, oh. That's a shot.
But at the same time, how much confidence has this got to put in guys that were looking at the new style Fords? Because totally
hung up. I had two phone calls today of guys saying at King's Old School they were bringing bubble Lincolns now, because if that's close to the same rules, they think they can compete with them, which is awesome.
But let's also say this, that unless it's Mad Mike bringing that same bubble Vic.
I'm not going to say that, but you're right. Yeah. But I want guys to bring Vic.
I think it's cool too.
Also, not on the same subject, not just the type of car. It's guys could take, like Josh. Josh had a Magnum motor. He didn't have a $10,000 red line or a Baldwin motor in it. Yep. And he tore shit up.
Absolutely.
Got the overall Mad Dog. I mean, he was smoking shit.
That was one of the best feelings.
Nothing but compliments.
Yes.
All night. And same thing with Steve.
Yep.
Steve just has a Vortec motor. Doesn't have very, very much money in it, but it's a reliable roller motor.
Yep.
And that gives people confidence that they can go to these shows with these big-dollar motors and compete. And I mean,
Ben stood right there. I had two guys straight in a row come up to me. I was sitting in my car, and the one guy goes, "Who built this motor for you?" And I go, "Junkyard motor, $200." Yeah, right.
See, Dodge did back in 2002.
That's what I said. And then the next guy comes up. He's like, "How much money you got in that thing?" I go, "About $200." Yeah, right. I go, "It was on the road like 3 months ago."
Exactly.
It's true.
Right. The Vortec I got come out of a 96 Suburban.
Yep.
I think I paid $400 for the motor, and then, you know, after carbon intake and just other little dumb stuff, you know, gaskets and stuff, I think I got $1,000 for that motor.
Right.
And I'm telling you, them Vortex, you know, they don't like to get hot after you lose your rad. You're going to replace the head, but if you don't lose your rad, they'll run forever ice cold, and they make nice power. They're just badass.
Well, that's what I was saying to guys too, is like, if you think you're going to go to an hour long derby every time you're going to derby, maybe those newer motors aren't the motor for you. But if you're going to go to your county fairs and you're going to go run half an hour derbies, that's the motor you should be building.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And just like he says, you change the intakes on them, carb on them, distributor, and you send that thing.
Or you could get one of the budget price guards or red lines.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
We do know some.
That's when you go next level.
We got a lot of friends out there, John.
No, stop. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm saying budget build.
I got a ball and a red line.
There's budget. There's budget build ones, too.
Badass motors, but, you know, I'll take the little Vortec, too. Just, you know, whatever one's on the ground is going in the car. That's right. How it goes.
You know, and one you trust the car, it.
We heard Steve.
Next one's going in the car.
We heard a little rumor, Steve, there might be another red line going to your camp.
Yeah, I did hear that myself.
Say that again?
I said we heard a rumor that there might be another red line going to your camp. Not to your camp, but the group.
I heard. That's the rumor on the street.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, Brent, you know, that shows you what a close, tight-knit group, you know, everybody is in the Derby World, because, you know, Todd's car was acting up. Carb was bad, and I had my red line. It just, you know, Brent freshened up sitting on the truck because he delivered to the Derby and had a nice brand-new carburetor on it, and Todd was acting up. So I said, nobody's touching the motor except for Brent.
Yeah. Exactly.
So Brent was actually tinkering with the Baldwin. He took the carb off the red line and put on the Baldwin, and then it worked beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that same story after the show.
Todd was talking to us, talking to Josh and I at the gas station.
We're in this gas station. All of a sudden, here comes Todd flying in. He comes in. He's got this big smile. I love that dude. Yeah. He comes in, hugs us, and we just started talking Derby. And it's like, we got to go. It's 2:30 in the morning. We got to get out of here. I could talk to that guy all night.
He's like, we're only an hour and a half away.
I'm
like, well, we're like five.
Yeah, that was cool.
But no, it was great. It was great.
Steve, how's the Bash for Cash car coming?
Bash for Cash, I am not running Bash for Cash. Todd's the only one going from our end. He's
really?
It's my daughter's dance recital. We got a lot going on this year. I was graduating high school. It's their last dance recital, so different stuff like that. I can't miss it. So
absolutely not. I agree. Didn't know.
I'll tell you, my Nationals car is going to, man, oh, man. it's pretty much done, and it is one nasty ride. My buddy Mark Burroughs, pretty much, he did all the work on it, and boy, did he put something nasty together. When you guys see it, a lot of people are going to be talking. They might even change a little bit of rules when it comes, you know, next year. But, man, is it nice.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It'll be definitely a change for you to go from this show that shit bent after about two shots.
Yeah.
You'll drive half the night till something starts tweaking.
Yeah, no kidding.
What kind of
car? You don't have to hold back too much with the limited well rule. That's what's nice.
No.
Are you going to tell us what kind of vehicle it is? Buick
Electric. Yeah, the 76 Buick Deuce and a Quarter.
I knew it. I had a feeling you'd be wrong.
Nice.
Good choice.
Nice.
Good choice.
And I'm sure there's wagons.
I'll send Chris some pictures of it, as long as you don't spread them around.
Yeah, you send me the pictures.
Don't send him no pictures.
You send me the pictures, and nobody else will see them. Everybody will be like, did you get those pictures? Yeah, I do.
As long as you don't spread them around. That's what
I have.
Only a select few got picked, so.
I get that, like, every day. Someone will send me a pick and then say, don't send it. It's like, well, you're lucky you said that.
I don't think Chris will, because he's afraid of the Russians.
That is true.
Right.
That is true.
You did hear his response. That was basically saying, and he should be.
Oh, that's crazy.
The big question is, what did Decker do to the front end and Y-framer?
Hey, it was good talking
to
you.
What do you mean? What do you mean, bone stock? Bone stock.
I've never seen a Y-framer junk shit like that.
Hey, you got to come to New York.
We'll send you a video. Send him a video of Canandaigua.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
There was the Y-framer I built for a friend of mine.
Yeah, that was even tougher than that one. That was scary.
And he swore up and down I had an imp sub in it.
I got to say, Ben come and helped me build mine, because Ben was there for that whole process, and him and I stared at that thing, and we tried some stuff, and they worked. And I'm on the next one. It's going to be even harder than this one, because now we've seen what didn't work.
And we've seen what we could do.
And I'll be honest, I was impressed with it. Because a couple times I hit and I backed up, and I thought, one time it was a red flag, and Ben is telling me hit with the front. And I'm like, no, the back. And he's like, no, the front. And I'm like, what? And that's what I did the rest of the Derby. I just started sending it. That was right when Ben told me to do it. It's like, yeah, you're right. Done. And I started just junking shit.
Josh is just grinning ear to ear. He's just throwing it in the corner, grinning ear to ear, and he's just...
My smile inside there. I mean, when I was neutral dropping, everyone loves neutral dropping. And when you just bop, it's just, God, it's such a good feeling.
That caused a lot of chatter, man. Everyone was talking about it.
Thank you, Steve.
It was the baddest live frame I've ever seen.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Did you hear that?
Man, that's pretty impressive.
Wait.
Wow. Boy, thank you.
Send one up, Steve. I'll do one for you.
Wait a second.
Thank you. Really? I know what he's doing.
I got a perfect Josh Decker special. Perfect 66 Chrysler wagon sitting in the garage.
Okay. I'll call you afterwards. How do I get in there? I love those. I love that body style.
I want to take a quick second and quantify what Steve just said. Josh, did you hear
What he? That is the baddest wife. What a compliment that is to Ben.
It really is. I'll agree. No, Ben.
No, because Josh and Jerry and Vern.
Yes,
and
my guys were great. Yeah, I had the best crew. Ben, Jerry, and my buddy Vern were fantastic. But Ben gave me an idea, and we ran with it, and the son of a bitch worked. And I will give that. Ben knows how to build a wireframer. Now I know how to build a wireframer.
I'll just give me a box car. I'll really show you how to build one.
When was the last time you thought Sam Bandel would be asking you for tips, right?
No, right? Sam Bandel said he was impressed with that Magnum, and that takes a lot. Yeah, you know?
Yeah. So I was actually talking with Sam during the show.
But he said your car was average.
I think I could have actually got out of my heat. Like, after I watched it, it's like, man, if I would have slowed down, I could have got out of my heat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they know because they weren't going to let you.
Well,
you were too low on a pecking order.
I was.
There were three guys that were just not going to let you out of that heat.
I agree with that.
That is totally true.
Yes. I agree with that. That's cool. I'm fine with that. Yeah, you know, I had to fight for it, and I didn't make it. You know, what are you gonna do?
Two of them guys were real top. I mean, Malloy didn't want you out of that heat.
Yeah.
No, he did
also,
not.
He also didn't want his roof ripped off his seat pillar when that happened.
His eyes. He turned, and I could see his eyes like this. I'm like, what the hell?
That was definitely one of the hits of the night.
Man,
right,
it made me smile.
I seen that coming. I almost jumped off that concrete block I was standing on. I seen you going on the track.
Yeah, that car run good.
Nick Wheatley was standing there with me, talked to him. He goes, man, I run a lot of wireframers. What'd you do to that thing?
Like, I heard that all night. I heard that all night. But, you know, I got off the track and, like, Quinsler was there.
Oh, yeah.
And like, he was so happy for me. Like, dude, that was kick. And, you know, just to hear guys that are, they run kick ass. Yeah. Just to hear them say that to you, it's like, I'll take that. I'll absolutely take that from those guys. You know,
I mean, it really was an outstanding feature. I know Steve's got a tight clock. I mean, is there any, before you mentioned a bunch of the guys at the shop, and in a bunch of different appearances, I know they all had a hand in getting you there, and your whole family, you guys had a little bit of work to do in the pits. How important is it to come away, you know, with this win to start off the Reckless Warriors Tour, and who do you want to recognize real quick before we get out of here?
Oh, it was great to come off with that win. I mean, because I think that was going to be the, one of the toughest derbies of the year, but just because of the, you know, the light build, and, you know, it's going to come down to driving and motor and, you know, just all the basic stuff like it was back in the day. So,
yes, yes.
You know, Mark Burrows, you know, put the car together. Josh Wetmore helped. Joey Pernice, you know, Todd, Mark, of course. You know, everybody pitches in. It's you know, we got a nice, tight little crew, and, man, we get it done.
Yeah, no doubt.
And let me say that you guys are a great group. Absolutely. Because whenever you walk to your group, you all shake our hands.
Yep.
Like, Corletto comes right up to us. Yeah. Wetmore. That everyone just comes up and, hey, how you been? And it's very nice.
There's only one person in the pits that I'm more scared of than the Russians, and it's Josh Wetmore.
I got to talk to him quite a bit at the Derby Bank.
For the Nationals, though, for the super stock class, I mean, we, you know, Joey Pernice, he just turned 16 years old. He's going to be in there for the first time in a big car.
Nice.
JC Molly's from Florida is coming up. We're putting a car together for him. And, you know, you heard, of course, that Troy Tagg coming. Todd and Corletta and guys are putting a car together for Troy Tagg for the Nationals, for the limited world class. So the Nationals are going to be good. I mean, this is going to be a good derby to watch all around.
They are going to be outstanding. June 27th, the date on that, in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. A little bit further drive from the epicenter of where we were Saturday at the Superstock show. But we're going to be back in Brookville at the end of July, and then Clarion's week after that. The season's going to wrap up the first weekend of September, the 4th and the 5th. Steve, man, I know you got to get to that banquet. We told you it'd be about 15 minutes. We're a little bit over on that. I apologize. Thanks for making time for us tonight.
Hey, guys, I appreciate all you guys do, man. It's great.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks a ton, man. Enjoy that dinner.
See you, Steve.
All right, take it easy. Thank you.
There goes Steve Sciopa. And we're going to have Mike DeFrisia in probably about 15 minutes or so. We're going to be getting with him.
The last three shots he made.
Oh.
When Mike was spinning in his rim. And that's all it come down to, spinning in your rim.
Spinning in your rim.
And you could just see Steve just feeling it. He was backing up, and he was on it, and he was picking them tires right up. I mean, it was getting nasty down there at the end, you know.
Yeah.
Mike was taking shots, but he wasn't giving up.
No.
And if he would have just kicked a tire and got on that rim, he would have been. It would have been right back to action, you know. Yeah. But he couldn't get out of it.
There was some great driving. Fans back. The compact show was great to watch. Adam Pletcher came through with a win in that. Stephen Hill put on a great show in car number 14, and Ralph Powell ended up getting the win in that truck series. Interesting twist there. You know, we talked yes. about it.
We were off on one thing, though. Apparently, that was an Expedition and not a Blazer.
No. Oh, okay. The winner's vehicle.
Yes. Yeah. I read somewhere that was an Expedition.
Oh, it's Expedition frame, I heard.
Yes.
Oh.
On another body.
On a top whole body.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's
that
a.
It
it's,
was?
Yeah, I heard it doesn't lose.
Well, that the truck was a Super Duty that had ran last year. Bash for Cash.
I watched a video. Yes. See, I think that's the next badass
and then the,
truck.
The 73, the truck 73, that got third, it was a K5 Blazer, like a 73 K5 Blazer. Mm-hmm. But what we're gonna do? We're gonna take a quick break while I get our man Mike on the phone, and we'll be right back here in just a few minutes. Come on.
Yeah. Todd was funny.
Todd was awesome.
Travel back to the good old days of Demolition Derby at the 2015 Kings of Old School, presented by Goodies Graphics and GN Auto Corp. The Kings of Old School will be held June 6th at the Broome County Fairgrounds in Whitney Point, New York. The Old School class is drawing drivers from across the United States, with new drivers signing up and past champions coming out of retirement to take part in the show with rules written the way the Northeast Derby community wants them to be. The headline Old School class will pay $22.50 to win and will be run in a Heat-10 feature format. The 80s newer kicker class filled in less than 6 hours once registration opened. The winners in the division will enjoy a share of a $3,000 purse. The card also includes compact and junk run division. Inspection opens at 8 a.m. Derby action begins at 2. Call Brett Relier at 607-327-2705 or Josh Decker at 607-725-2194 for details. With rule questions, call Mark Benjamin at 607-215-2149. That's the Kings of Old School, June 6th, Broome County Fairgrounds, Whitney Point, New York. Demo Derby Masters offers a wide array of stocked derby parts and accessories that have all been derby tested. Demo Derby Masters also offers custom fabrication, meaning your homespun garage idea can become a finely produced reality. Their team of engineers and Demo Derby drivers have designed, manufactured, and derby tested all parts to ensure quality and durability, even though they're in extreme condition. DemoDerbyMasters.com also carries a full line of helmets, fire suits, gloves, and belts, and Kaiser's own branded oil and fluid. Parts are manufactured, housed, and shipped out of their 140,000 square foot facility located in Cooperstown, Michigan. Order online at DemoDerbyMasters.com or contact them by phone at 800-472-2464 or email info@DemoDerbyMasters.com. And you thought last year was huge. The Bash for Cash returns to the Demolition Derby Limelight Memorial Day weekend 2015. Every bit of action is returning, and there's some more added in. DerbyParts.com is back with the 80s newer class paying $11,000 to win. DerbyTees.com is back paying the Turn Back the Clock winner $10,000. And now the Compacts are cashing in, vying for at least $3,000 in their championship event. Action is planned for May 23rd and 24th, again at the Fayette County Fairgrounds in Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Early inspections are planned for Friday, May 22nd. For a full rundown of the schedule and divisions, visit www.smashitderby.com. Crash Course would like to thank DerbyParts.com, an industry leader in aftermarket parts. DerbyParts.com has become the go-to source for builders looking to make one stop for all their derby needs. A proud partner of the Reckless Warrior series and the title sponsor at the Bash for Cash, DerbyParts.com offers products from the top manufacturers in the industry, including fellow Reckless Warriors partners Brian Muir and Big Rock Derby products, and performance aftermarket standouts MSD, Edelbrock, Schoenfeld, and Samson Tires. Inventory includes cradles, ultra bells, sliders, flux plates, pedal kits, mounts, fans, radiators, adapters, tanks, and much, much more. DerbyParts.com truly offers one-stop shopping for builders ready to perform at any level. Go online and check them out. From bumper to bumper, you can find it on DerbyParts.com.
She goes, that is the most humble.
And we're back.
I'll tell you about later.
Brian got caught by the ending advertisement. That's why we watch the screen, good sir.
That's why we shoot the breeze. That's what I, on the way down there, when I asked you what was going on at the Derby. Don't you watch the advertisement? No, that's when we talk.
But anyway, it wasn't an extended commercial break there. I played through a lot of those ads while we were trying to get Mike DeFrisia on the phone. I did tell him 7:30, so we were a little bit early. So we're going to save the Reckless Warrior ad. We'll play that a little bit later on and move into a little bit of a conversation with our buddy
Mad Mike DeFrisia. There was other. There was some other action over the weekend. A friend of the show that we've talked to a number of times, Don Santel, picked up a win with Wendell Bowman was filling us in. He picked up a win over the weekend, which was good to see. And then we had the T-Bone action that was this weekend as well. And Tyler Ford and Scott Shoppers ended up winning that. Nice. And then they had a up in I can't remember the name of the city. Hang on a second here. Let me find it.
Kansas, right?
Yeah, no, it was Relay in Kentucky. It was the Franklin, yep. Franklin, Kentucky. They yep. did do a Relay for Life benefit derby. We had a couple winners turned in from that. Charlie Bush was out there winning the 80s and the full size class. Then Trey Johnson won the Pro Mod big cars. They had a 5 foot compact class. Donald Smith won that, and then the mowers. Matt Toms picked up the victory. In that one.
Who says they want to start the project of a 5 foot rule car? You just hear that and it's like, not interested.
Yeah, I'm good.
Not interested.
I'm good.
Not that it's not. I mean, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
It's, yeah, a 5 foot compact car.
That's what I'm saying. That's how do you even do that?
How do you even do that? I mean, how much fun was this weekend, huh?
No, it was, you know, and let me just say, because I know Vern's listening. Vern put a lot of work in. My buddy Jerry Harmon has hours and hours and hours and paychecks in my car. I mean, he made this beautiful sign for the front of my car, and Ben made the mount for it.
Did you
it.
Take that off before the Conti?
No.
No.
It was on the whole time.
When did it come off? Because I saw the cargo by once, and I didn't think it was on.
It was always on.
Yep. Damn it.
Yeah, no, it ain't coming off.
Man, I'm losing my mind.
That ain't ever coming off. Nah, I just had a – it was – like Steve was saying, kind of old school feel because there was such great iron. And before the Derby starts, you kind of got the I told all you guys I had butterflies, and you guys know me lately. I had just jump in cars and not care. I was like really nervous, excited, wondering how you. Then you pull out to the heats. They're like, all right, pull your heat. I pull our heat one. Damn it, I don't know anyone here. You get down there to where they're staging heat one, and they're like, this is stage one. I'm like, all these? Yeah, this is all heat one. It's like, oh my God. You know, it's like, I see five Cadillacs, some Buicks, some, oh, I'm like, oh my God. Then thank God Mike Decker pulls my heat because me and the old man just.
You and granddad.
Yeah. Oh, and Mike Decker's, I've wanted to run with him forever. And there was a couple times where someone was against him. I look over and I went and blasted a suicide that was holding him in and shit. And I was loving it. I really was loving that Derby.
I think you had Zach in your heat. No, not Zach. Was it Zach in your heat or Jason?
I think Jason was. Jason was in heat one.
And him and I
Todd was out there, but Todd had trouble immediately, so he didn't really get to run.
You Dan Bolton to Adkins one time. I didn't even knew it was him.
No, in a driver's door. I wasn't. Was it in the console? I hit him in the driver's door, I think, and I was not going for him. He just swung past me. He's like, yeah. I had my foot in the brake, but I got him good. I want to apologize about that. But.
There was some great driving out there too.
Awesome,
I mean,
incredible.
And to think of the, you know what I was saying to Ben was in the middle of that feature.
I was really impressed with Anthony Alexander in your heat. He drove great.
He got me off the. He knew that I was duking it out with 297. He come all the way around.
Jesse
I
Fox.
Seen him staring at me the whole time, and I got around. He could see he had me hung, and he pointed like that, like he was just going to drive my back. And I'm like, yeah. He drove me, unhooked me. I got to give that guy a hug. I let him borrow a car, tire for the feature. So it's,
how great was Jesse Fox effort? I mean, Brian,
dude,
at 297. Yeah. Now we're talking about the amount of damage he endured and still managed to qualify for the feature.
Yes.
And he had everything off the ground on that car.
Yes.
He had a ton of work to do. And he came back out and he drove great. Jonathan Furr.
John is a great driver.
Yeah.
He drove he knew how to drive a GM
with
sedan.
With a broken arm.
The back of that thing bent up nice. And I mean, he was really doing good in the feature. If he didn't break the tail shaft, he would have been right down there.
Yeah, with not a floorboard in it.
He's from the Carolinas, and I look inside there and I said, John, where did you get this? Maine? Because this is a hunk of junk. And he's like, oh, it's South Carolina, but the coast. And it's like, don't go near the coast anymore, because that thing is junk.
But
he drove great.
If he didn't break the tail shaft, we looked at
him.
And
he was all by himself. Yeah. He was a guy that comes so far away, literally all by himself, and qualified.
On the topic of coming from a long ways away, we still haven't gotten the complete rundown of everything. Christy King, watching at home in Ontario right now, she got some stuff going and said, everybody post where you're watching from, and got this thread. Some people knew the thread. Some people just posted the crash course wall. Some people were messaging us. We lost count at 23 states, and we were at five countries. Mm-hmm. We had the U.S. and Canada, obviously, which was remarkable in itself. Then we added Korea and Japan and Warsaw, Poland.
Badass.
That's badass.
That was really cool to get some
notes
from all those guys that were – coming from.
And you got to think all these houses are not, these places aren't watching just by themselves on a phone, probably. These are
Travis Charleston did, which I give that guy some credit because he hung in for 7 hours watching.
Wait a minute. You weren't on there when he told a story about McDonald's, were you?
No.
Tell him about the dude that went to McDonald's.
Okay, I don't remember the poor guy's name. This
I found it on Facebook, but I can't remember his name
now. I can't remember who it was. This has got to be the most, by the way, Christy King pulled the raffle. The person, Christy was going to take all the names that were posted online and pull a name at random. The name that was pulled at random was Colby Weaver. So that guy gets a Reckless Abandon shirt.
Awesome.
I got to get that sent out to him. And on the show, as the show is happening, Big Rock, Mr. Diver was watching.
All this, this.
Okay,
and, this.
And he's like, "Your show is awesome.
Nice.
This is so cool. I love it." And I'm just messaging back and forth periodically. If you've ever watched a live stream, I end up doing this for a second, and it turns into 10 minutes because there's a gajillion messages.
Yeah, we
attentive.
We all do
feeling.
That.
I know the feeling.
Dave jumped right to the front of the line. I was messaging him. He goes, "You know what? This is awesome." Just for the heck of it, tonight, nobody knows about it, but the winner of that feature is going to get a set of Big Rock headers on top of everything else. So he gave away a set of headers.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's badass.
But wait a minute. Go back to the McDonald's story because this is awesome.
So McDonald's, right? Wow, this guy's watching at home, that's and he cool. goes, "I can't get this to work. This is junk." And I'm trying to help him through the process. And we found out that his internet signal isn't the best for the speed at which we're streaming.
He went to free internet at
okay.
McDonald's.
Boom!
Really?
So he pulls up. He gets off of his mobile device, and he pulls up his computer, and he goes, "You know what? This still isn't quite working. There's a McDonald's on the road." He took his iPad, went to McDonald's, got a high C, set it on the table, and watched the whole derby there, and he said it never missed a beat.
Get out of here.
Is that not the coolest
thing?
Oh,
my God. It's awesome.
So everybody that has sucky internet, go to McDonald's with Wi-Fi and watch it.
That is awesome.
It was great. He goes, I know it's not your problem, and I'm not trying to make it so, but you have any tips that I can try? And he goes, "You know what? Screw it." And he messages from over there. He goes, "I knew it was mine. It worked perfect once I got
awesome.
To McDonald's." So,
that is
so
just
all you
so
need,
awesome.
So yeah. If you want
the ingenuity among Dumbo fans is even amazing.
But you gotta think. You ever heard the term think
out of the box?
No, think global, not local, or whatever it is. So instead of nationwide, you're worldwide now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't.
And one other thing before
that
we go,
was pretty cool.
I said it before we did our show Saturday night, and I want to say it here again, in case anybody's listening and missed it. We've had on pretty much all the shows we've done, we've had guys that are in the service text us and say, "Hey, look, you know,
absolutely
great to see this from, you know, we're in Japan or we're in Korea." If there is anybody that is in the service that is a Derby fan that knows about us, that knows about our shows, please friend request one of us.
Let us
know that you're in the service, hey, and we will make sure that we get the posts and the links directly to you guys, because it made me feel so good when I read that. I can't think of the guy's name, but he was in, believe it was Korea.
Ian Rochelow, and then
there was one in Korea, and he said, "You know, this is so awesome because I'm not going to be home for the summer to watch the derbies, but I'm watching it here, and it's like being at home."
That's awesome.
And dude, that's when Chris and the guys were just in Minnesota a week ago, and to hear him say that. So if anybody that's in the service,
cool.
any branch, let us know, please. We'll get the links to you.
We tried to do some stuff that hasn't been done before. That we sort of dabbled with last week, and we were able to sort of refine the process this weekend in Pennsylvania, is we brought the online crowd together with the arena crowd. We had people online asking if they could buy raffle car tickets. How cool is that, right?
Yeah, that
but,
is cool.
But you heard how well that you could hear the crowd when they got loud,
yes,
right? Well,
yes.
That was over the sound of motors and everything. So after Melanie Hansen, who did a wonderful job.
Amazing again.
What we said is we had everybody, or excuse me, it was after Scott did the invocation. We had everybody stay standing, and we got on the microphone that was going both in the arena and online and said, "Everybody in the arena, the people that are online right now that are watching all over the country can hear you, and we have a ton of people that are watching that are in the service. So please, if you would, give them a round of applause." And we just turned the mics over to the crowd, and it went crazy.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah, now you say that, I was standing right there, and it was badass.
But I think
them
guys, wherever they're at, if they're able to do it, they should take a video. They should just derby some home V's and shit.
Yeah, do that.
I don't know if that would be a great. I mean,
we'll
it'd be fun
you
to
on.
Watch.
We'll have
but
you on right after you do it,
Ben. Yeah. There's no way that's going to happen because they don't give insurance for derbies in a field.
Ain't that the truth?
You know,
you can only get insurance if you own racetracks, I guess.
But you know what this also shows? Like, that McDonald's story shows. Like, when I was a kid, there was no TV of Demolition Derby. I was starving for Demolition Derby. And other guys are, enough that they'll drive to McDonald's and sit in McDonald's.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If you're having trouble with your internet signal, just stick a French fry in the USB port, and that'll hook you up.
Very cool.
But Mike DeFrisci joining us on the Hotline Runner-Up, showing at the Superstock show out there in Brookville, man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
What's up, Mike?
Having a great time. How'd you think Saturday went?
Great, man. Better than I expected, I can tell you that.
how's that run change your perspective on your car of choice there for that show, that Ford?
Yeah, you know, for 3 years ago and 2 years ago, I took 80s rides up there to that stock show, and I had a 70s ride bought, and it was a local car and rusty, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to stick with what I've been running the last few years. And, you know, I didn't drive as hard as some of the guys did, I guess, but, you know, I was a little, I felt a little bit like the underdog with only a few 80s cars there. So.
You were.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You were, Mike.
Absolutely.
On the topic of, guys that were there, we talked about Pete being there. He tipped his hand a little bit about his team for Blizzard Bash coming up in November. And,
I gotta bite my lip.
And yeah, so with the sounds of things, again, this remaining unconfirmed because I'm pretty confident I couldn't get a straight answer anyway, but I don't believe Daryl Monroe was going to be with Team Nearit when they go run. It looks like right now he is returning to Luke Johnson and Brent Clemens' team for next year.
They want
us.
Understood.
Yes.
I will say one thing.
Why break it?
I asked Jason Brodzinski between him and I. He gave me a name. Pretty good name. It's going to be a nasty team.
Virtually every person in the country, if you're open right now,
would run on that team.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you got the call, the next guy that gets the call is a lucky SOB.
He wouldn't even give me the name. He goes, just rest assured that when you realize the closer that we brought in, you'll know why.
The closer? Badass. that's awesome.
Interesting.
It's
the closer.
It's impressive.
Interesting. Interesting.
Who ended up winning Canandaigua Saturday? Sean Amon?
Matt Shepard.
No.
The Derby.
There was a Derby Saturday?
Chuck Bowman was in it.
Oh, yeah, Chuck was there. I did see that.
Don't Billy Hammer.
Don't
Chuck.
Be a jerk about it. Sean Amon came with him.
Sean Amon finally won. I love when Brian's a jerk.
Sean Amon won,
that's
yeah.
Good. That's
yeah,
good.
Then they got coming up this Saturday, John King's got the show after the races at Fulton.
The 16 and older youth Derby.
Mm-hmm. I think they got an adult class up there, too.
I thought it was just youth. I'm not sure.
Is it just youth?
So Mad Mike, back to the show. I mean, after watching the way Josh Decker performed in that Y-Framer, I mean, are you going to start selling your Fords and buying some Y-Framers or what, buddy?
I don't know about that, but I'll tell you what. He put on a hell of a show, that's for sure, man. That was awesome.
Thank you, Mike.
Absolutely.
I got to say, Mike's group of guys, I love that group. Whenever I'm with them, like, even if you pass them in the pits, they're all busting your balls, and and they're just such a great group of guys, but they're all really into what Mike's doing and helping Mike, and they're helping Tony, and just a great guy. So they'll give you any part off the back of the truck, they'll help you, and I really like your group, Mike. You guys are always fun.
Did you get a chance to go down and see Rick Clark? And Trippy?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick is such a good dude.
You want to know something about inspection? All the tech inspectors are like, boy, Rick Clark's got a lot of work to do. He's got a list like this long.
Yeah.
And I saw Rick just as he was pulling out. He goes, dude, I'm in good shape. My list is only this long.
That's awesome.
This is bad news for somebody. And I don't know who.
But you know, Jeff Tripp also was in there. He almost rolled someone in his heat, dude. And he was running hard, frontwards only.
Yeah.
And again, a Canadian come out there, and he almost qualified. Yes, another guy that was all by himself.
He was in a square Vic. I mean, there was some tough Fords there. I mean, there was obviously one that was the toughest, Mike DeFrisci.
Yes.
But there were some pretty tough Vics there. I was pretty impressed.
Tori got hung up, too.
Yeah, Tori got hung up.
Tori got hung up on it. He was the only one that got hung up on the barriers.
Yeah.
Which, sorry to say that, Tori, but hey. He would have had a wicked tough box Vic.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Corey Roman's car? It finished looking just like his
last
we said
car.
The exact thing.
His last car.
I'm over here telling Josh.
We said that.
He could build one hell of a car, but man, when he gets to the end, he definitely builds them the same because they just about all look identical
the same.
When they're done.
Absolutely.
But he was driving.
And they couldn't go much more. I mean, the back of that was just gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time his wheels are hanging out the back, his nose is like this, his tires are in.
How many cars, Mike, I mean, you had a pretty good perspective on this, getting to drive past some of those guys when you were out there duking it out with Steve. How many of those cars bent so far over that the back tires just weren't touching the ground anymore?
Yeah.
A lot. lot. Yep. I just couldn't believe how many were. I mean, everything was mangled. That's what I liked about the show. Also, was I don't think nothing left there not mangled.
Yeah, everything was junk.
What amazed me was it was unlimited nine-wire.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't even think there was 30%.
No.
People ran nine-wire down around frame around it to help hold that up.
I didn't.
I tell you what.
Yeah. No, you're
on
right,
the topic
Bob,
of that nine-wire thing, Serena Brandt, whose car was built with John Danbaugh.
Yep. 73 Impaler.
Yeah. Yep. That thing bent ugly, awful, terrible in the heat. Yeah. And they ran the nine-wire perfect on that thing to get into the feature through the consi. And I mean, by the time they were done, it had gone kittywampus on that arch, but still.
You give people this is the difference between my opinion and the shows I've seen in PA in Ohio.
Oh, Ohio would have destroyed
I'm
that rule.
I'm going to tell you, Ohio would have looked like
hundreds of pounds.
It would have looked like a nine-wire knitting freaking seminar going on.
A ball of nine-wire yarn.
In
but I
got to
say,
time.
I love the nine. You're right. You are so right. But I got back. The back of my car was floppy. I mean, you could kick it, and it was like, pop, 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 pop. And all of a sudden, I come back, and this thing is a rock. They got it to my halo with an H, and this thing is like, you could play the, I mean, it was like, ding, ding, ding. And Vern's like, feel how hard this is. He's kicking it in. It's like, and I tell you, I like the rule. I don't think anyone, but
well, they
Ben
had
is
that
so
same
right.
Rule,
they
had
that
same rule at Albert Lee at Crossroads. They had the same thing.
Well,
it was after the heats.
People didn't.
You're right.
Really
I agree.
Didn't take
they
advantage
now
of
mention it.
Because I think a lot of them, it was been so long since they ran a car like that it would do that, or it's just they're like, eh.
Well, or their car, like me, Ben, honestly, I was bent in so many places. You remember, I was just like, eh, shove it down with a rollback, and we didn't even try, because it was like, this thing's a chunk of shit anyway, you know?
There was so much stuff that I wanted to...
Mike,
could have been there all day.
Mike, we talked a lot about the different driving styles, I feel that we were kind of proven wrong on a couple different fronts. We thought that the guys that built the limited weld cars, coming down to it, might be a little bit softer in terms of their pace, and the guys that were... accustomed to building stock and now had the chance to move up the list a little bit, might drive a little bit harder. It seemed from our perspective that the pace was pretty even. I mean, both of those build communities, stock and the limited weld, had their share of drivers that were pushing the pace and had their share of drivers that were taking it easy and being more selective with their shots. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of figured everybody being 5,000 to win, and now that you got points involved, I kind of figured everybody was going to, you know, slow down a little bit. But, you know, there's always the guys that want to go out just for the mad dog like Decker. But, I mean, mainly, I think if I had a 70s car, I probably would have ran a little bit harder. But I think being in a 90s car, I kind of felt like I had something to prove. And, I wanted to be there in the end. So
you did it.
Mike,
that was awesome.
I drove slower than I normally do.
Were you
bent
at all in the front? Did your rails ever bend in the front? Were you?
If I'm wrong, but it looked like your passenger side frame rail, like under your door, was dragging. Was that the way it looked?
Yeah, that's initially what hung me up there in the end. My cross member was dragging in the dirt.
Yeah. I noted that on
once I got the flat, it was all over from there.
But Mike, I got to tell you something. As a Derby fan, which I am first and foremost, to watch you and Steve battle at the end was so awesome.
It was awesome.
I mean, there is nothing better to watch two great builders and great drivers battle like that.
And it can go either way.
Yeah, I was sitting up there loving it. And like I told Steve, I told Todd Sayopa halfway through, I said, it's going to come down to Mad Mike and Steve. And Todd's like, yeah, you're right.
Yes, I thought so too.
And you guys, I mean, as a Derby fan, it was awesome to watch you guys put on that show and battle at the end. I mean, you guys, every hit you made, it was for a reason. It wasn't, you know, just a whatever. I mean, he was, you know, after tires and front ends, and it was just awesome to watch you guys run. I mean, there was a lot of driving lessons being given right there to the people that were really watching.
Yeah, we appreciate that. I mean, it's hard when you get two drivers that have been doing it for 20 plus years. I mean, both of us were trying to save our front end somewhat, and he knew his rear end packed so nice. I mean, it was like perfect after the heat. I took a hard shot. It was like the first shot I took in my heat.
Yep.
I think it was the old Monte Carlo 318 or something. I can't remember the number, but he caught me and shifted my whole ass in.
Yep.
And he bent it really funny, you know. So I was a little skeptical going into the feature. I mean, we nine-wired it back together, but I had one frame rail getting close to my tire, so I was kind of like, man, do I want to use the front or the back? But and then when Psycho had his fire, one of the officials come up and said, hey, it's down to you and Steve. we don't want to be here all night. Let's get it on, you know. And it's like, man, that's easy to say, but absolutely, when there's two good drivers out there, you know, it's hard.
Well, it ended good because you were trying to he was trying to finish you, but you were trying to play more defensive and poke, and it was really fun to watch.
Absolutely.
It was I mean, great. You were the underdog. Oh, let's be honest, Mike. You were under, not driving-wise, but just car-wise, looking at it. You're like, man, you know, Mike's got to fight this out.
I mean, can you imagine if that car won?
Right.
Oh, can you imagine?
And he was right there. If you would have kicked that if you would have kicked that tire, who knows?
Yeah. It would have been different.
Just you know what got me? A piece of nine wire that we wrapped nine wire down around my rear frame up over my roof pillar there. And it was actually a piece of nine wire that stuck right through my tire and poked my damn tube.
Yeah. Wow. That stinks.
Yeah, I know the luck, I'm telling you.
Wow, you got second. I don't want to hear it. I'm not hearing you, bitch. Yeah.
That's awesome, though. And it was. I mean, it was great to watch. I was enjoying that at the end.
There's a lot of – I see Bull commented earlier. There's a lot of – because he was going to do the whole points thing and get that rearranged. There's a lot of people that made it through inspection the first time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, which was great. Just to revisit the topic from a few minutes ago, it's a 4-6 chain and bank, 1,000 to win, plus a boat race, and then the youth derby is 300 to win at Fulton. John King promoting that in conjunction with Corey Reed. I talked to Corey earlier today. He asked us to mention that as well.
You know, at the end of the night, I got a picture of Mike with both of us with our trophies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that picture because, like, Mike is, like, a really good dude. And it reminds me of my group up here.
Yeah.
And, like, when I go down there, I just really like hanging out with him. And I'm really proud of you, Mike. You drove really good. And it was cool hanging out with you guys. You know, I didn't get to hang out with you as much during the day as I usually do, but every time I see you guys, it's great.
Ridinger's Fire, that psycho car, Rich Ridinger's car, I think I was reading online, he believes it was like an oil return line that came off. Mm-hmm. So that fire, as bad as that was, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that car was
just
hot.
Yeah, them stacks were just like,
oh my god!
You would have went over to a screwdriver, you could have tipped them right over. I mean, they were
bad. Yeah,
I mean,
they were.
Once they get that hot, it doesn't take.
And when you hear that motor, like I don't know, it makes that flickering noise. Tinging, and, oh my gosh, it's like, and you can hear him neutral dropping it, and the tone's not changing.
Yeah,
he's got his foot all the way down. And it's like that thing's hot.
And that was the thing is during the feature, I told Chris because it was getting down. I mean, Mike and Steve were getting moving along pretty decent, but the other cars are really dragging. I went, smell that. I'm like, that's racing oil burning out there. You can smell like the hot oil.
Yep.
Oh, it was.
Yep.
But
there was
awesome.
A number of cars that we watched that had chunks of things flying out of their stacks. Yeah. These like little molten nuggets of awesome
valves.
Come flying out.
Yeah,
of
valves.
But hold on. Now you go back. When you go to a more stock derby, now you got guys throwing their old blocks in there. Well, I just throw my old 318, my old 350. Well, you start, you know, it ain't a Baldwin, so you get them hot, and you start sending pieces out of them.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it's more fun. I mean, as a crowd, it's like, man, that guy blew his motor. That's fun to watch. Well,
was it Malloy that had I think it was Malloy that had the blue flame was progressively getting taller and taller and taller, and it wasn't going away no matter what he did. It was always having that was bad. David Klein. How about David Klein? In 18 years, he had that Ford sitting in his house for 18 years. He said, I've just been waiting for the right setup. Have you ever talked to David Klein? But he doesn't speak
Chrysler.
That fast. He doesn't. Yeah, he's a Mopar guy. Mm. He's just one of those guys just laid back and easy. He goes, I've been sitting on this car for 18 years waiting for the perfect set of rolls. So
and he took a real bad shot in his heat, and that sent the back end goofy, and then he proceeded to just stand on it, and he was junking stuff.
And he had a 318 in it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
In his galaxy.
Talking about the rules and a good set of rules, they definitely did have a good set of rules. Mm-hmm. And the inspectors, I talked to two or three inspectors, and they get, I got joking with them and busting on them, and they go, yeah. I go, well, would you rather be doing this, inspecting this show or the limited weld rules? And they go, the limited weld rules, because these stock guys, he goes, they're a pain in the ass. I'm like, what do you mean they're a pain in the ass? He goes, they bitch about everything compared to the limited weld guys.
I heard Toby saying something about that. I heard Toby saying something about that.
And I said, Toby, you'd never be able to build a stock car.
But I mean, that's just it. You have to find every advantage possible and make the most of it because you don't have as much car.
Exactly.
You don't have as much car.
Difference, and that's the thing. A lot of these guys, the Sciopas are a prime example, and Malloy and a lot of them other guys have been running for a long time. Even Mike Decker, you know,
dude, he's kicking ass out there.
He knows. He's been in it. He's at the low spectrum and now up to the heavy build stage. They know, but you know, but then it's just a pain in the ass for him to debuild. To turn back, it takes him so long. It's really like, it took me so long to build this car. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, it was so long because I could normally just weld that, add a piece of it, plate that, put a kicker there, and he's like, I couldn't do it. I had to think about it. You know, I had to revisit what I used to do.
But guys were doing a good job of it because the drivetrains were kept going. The cars were going. There was no car left.
No.
Front, back, sides. No. But the drivetrains were still going in a lot of them. And
there was so many cars where the only thing holding back end together was the tin work. That the rails had just busted clean off.
Absolutely.
You could see them going across the track and the whale tail was just waving goodbye, you know?
Yep. Mike, did you know you were straight for as long? Did you know you were looking as good as you were? Or did you think you were bet or anything?
Well, I mean, in my heat, to be honest with you, coming out of the heat, I didn't think my front was bent at all. My hood stayed really straight and everything, and I'm out there, and I'm like, man, I can't believe this thing hasn't bent. This is crazy. And then when I pulled off and got out of the car, I said, oh, boy, I did bend a little bit.
That's cool.
From my perspective in the car, you know, I thought I was better than I actually was
once I
got out. But overall, I was happy with it. I mean, going into this show, I felt really good because a lot of the guys came down from the limited weld, as you guys were saying. And, you know, when you start building for years like that, you know, I think you lose perspective of, you know, keeping the car moving when it's bent like a banana. So, you know, I felt like maybe my guys and me had a little bit of advantage over the limited weld guys because that's how I've been building for 20 years, you know, is keeping the car moving when it doesn't look like it should be.
You're absolutely right.
Corey Roman.
Yeah, Corey Roman.
I was getting a kick out of guys.
Yeah, Corey Roman built an awesome car.
I was getting kick out of guys because you'd see him. Steve was one of them. I'd see him. He'd take his goggles, pick his goggles up, and you'd see him looking like this. So many guys were trying to look through the holes in their firewall or look through with their hoods up. They're trying to look. They're looking up. You know what they're looking at.
I did
you know,
the same thing.
Josh is doing the same thing.
He's doing it in my trunk.
As soon as I Josh said, when I tell him to use a nose, he just looks at me, and he looks forward like this, and he looks at me, and I'm looking at him, and he just
My back
it.
Looked really but good, because I look in the back, I'm like, no. And then you're like, no. It's like, no, I want to use that.
There's so many people I got to kick out of it. The guys, because you know exactly what they're doing, because you're doing it. You do the same thing. I used to do the same thing. You're trying to look through the hole in the firewall. You're like, man, does that rail look like it's twisted? And it's like, you know, and like Mad Mike was saying, you know, he thought he was a lot better off and a lot straighter than what he thought. But in every moment, every chance you get, you know, light shines in, or you catch a light or something going through the firewall, you're kind of catching, you know, for a moment, you're like, oh, how's that rail look?
And Davey Chapman had a good run. Chuck Bucknum, he had
Chuck
a good run.
Bucknum.
Chuck Bucknum, when he went out in the feature, we talked to him after the feature and congratulated the shit out of Chuck. And I was like, Chuck, man, you did a hell of a job. He's like, oh, gee, thanks, you know. And I'm like, dude, for the shit you took out there for
he
the feature.
He had junk in the feature.
You just, when you pulled out on that track, you did awesome. And he's like, oh, man, guys, that meant a lot. And he goes, but he's another one that picked up a brand new red line.
Oh, dude,
and
he was excited.
He seen Mad Mike out there. He goes, yes.
He was screaming for Mad Mike. He was screaming for Mad Mike. Dude, he was loving the sound of Mike's car. He's like, you hear that? That's what I'm running next time. I can't wait to get in that next time. He was loving it. But Chuck's another guy that comes all by himself.
What Josh
so
just
away.
Said, you have to layer in one of the thickest Lynn, Massachusetts accents you've ever
seen. Exactly.
Yeah, the car. I just want to run the car. No, but they're.
But no, Chuck was
you hear that car?
Excited.
I'm going to be running.
Yeah, no, he's a good dude. You know, all by himself. And like, he's a true derbier, just loves the sport. I like Chuck.
Was Jim Malloy sponsored by duct tape adhesives?
Yeah. That was
I seen a whole couple of duct tape. I think they ran out of nine wire and just used duct tape.
That was like I said, they're gonna bring a bear bond to the next year's show.
You might use Gorilla tape.
That was straight out of Daytona 500 pits.
Oh yeah. That was cool. That was right out of Days of Thunder, man.
I was like, oh my god. No, that was awesome.
I gotta say, I didn't hear one guy bitch. I was there the whole night. I talked to so many guys, and everyone was saying, like, I love these rules. I love watching cars bend. It was a great medium.
There was a few rumbles here and there, but it's just on clarity stuff. But it got resolved. It got resolved with the inspectors. The inspectors were fair.
You can't argue with that.
Them guys were awesome to where they took what was put out there and what guys were doing. And literally, they didn't have a foot to stand on because everybody had them because the rules, they weren't defined. I mean, they had them by the balls.
Well, you heard me. I walked right
in
there one time.
And they just turned around and them guys are like, look at guys, you know, you can do this, and satisfied people. And
look at me. When I got in that, when I got in there, all of a sudden, there were seven of them around. And like, But, you know, but I put a lot of time in my front.
Right.
You know, so I wasn't just going to say, like, I'll cut it all. No. Let's talk about it. And I loved talking it over with Toby.
Yep.
Because then Toby was saying, well, I'll let you do this because of this, but then you got to do this because I'm letting this. And it's like, okay, well, yeah. I'm with you on that. Okay,
and
that's
and that was the greatest.
Instead
part
of just saying cut all, because at first the first guy come over was like cut all these, it. All yeah. seven yeah. of them is like no.
I just looked at him like I don't think so.
No,
and he goes, hours. And then he goes, "Are you a driver?" I'm like, didn't answer him. I just stayed there. So I just stood there.
Ben was with me all day. Yeah. Ben was right there. Thank God.
I just stood there.
Well, it was funny because I walked in because you and Brett pulled in at the same time, and I was kind of walking around and did some touring, and I come back and I come walking in, and here's Josh's car, and I think every inspector in the place is standing in front of Josh's yep. car.
No,
and
that's not true. There was 15 inspectors. Only there's 11 of them on Josh's car.
And I looked and I walk up to him and I said, "Hey." I said, just between me and you, I don't think it's good when there's that many guys looking at your car.
The other inspectors were retaking Rick Clark's car and calling for help.
Well, the first guy said something, and I didn't like it, so I called the next guy, and then the next guy, and then the next guy, and then I'm like, Toby, and then Toby's like, well, Chris? So by the end of it, I had them all, you know? Someone's going to answer that.
And then he see me
but
standing
but everybody,
there, like,
I mean,
oh.
That's the thing, and Mike, I mean, you can back me up on this, because you went through the same tech inspection that everybody else did, is that when there was questions, when there was situations that the rules were ambiguous, and there was some vagueness to it, and there was some things that were in that gray area that everybody loves so much to talk about, but everybody seems to hate at the same time. The drivers were put in, the builders were put in a situation where they could talk their side out.
That's it.
And
sometimes
and
getting
it wasn't dismissive.
Right.
It wasn't okay. You have to do this. There was a conversation that was had about what that gray area, and like Josh alluded to, and like I'm sure Rick Clark can attest to this. There was some discussion back and forth. Some drivers thought that there was a problem with that, but the thing is that is how all boat shows are.
Yes.
That's the how rules... every fucking show is. They don't matter. It's the rules or the payouts, and it's the rules, like you were saying, the rules, it's a debate nonstop.
No, but I mean, not so much. I know what you're saying there, Ben, but the thing is there is a calm conversation
yeah.
that happens in the inspection line afterwards when there's a situation that needs to be discussed. Not a debate, not an argument. It's just simply an adult conversation, which is really cool. And one of the things that's really a feather in Bo's cap is we've got people that we're watching online that are talking about booking trips to come out, and now they're torn between their trip in June. Is it going to be June 6th for Kings of Old School, or is it June 77th for the Keystone Nationals? But either way, people are now paying attention to what's going on in the Northeast.
Yes,
which is
incredible.
Which is
and
awesome.
We've been saying from the beginning, Northeast is great. We might not build that hard, but we can junk shit.
And we got to make sure that we thank everybody that was part of the Reckless Warriors tour. All those sponsors that came together. And then E2 Sliders came in as our internet provider. So to say, for the weekend, to make sure that we were able to put that out there. You know, a couple of people through the week were asking me, like, where's the pay-per-view link? Where's the pay-per-view link? And I'm like, well, let's just table that conversation until later in the week and make sure that
Thursday, for instance.
Make sure that you definitely need to do that. And sure enough, we had the right people come through. We were able to put that out there. And, everybody seemed to like it.
Can I throw something out about E2 Sliders? Just real quick. Elvis is a fantastic person.
Thanks, Josh.
I got something serious. I have a friend that's actually, he has cancer, terminal. He asked me to build his first derby car. We went and bought it together, started stripping it together. A few days ago, he found out he's not going to make it that far. He's not going to make it to that derby. Elvis, I just was happened to talk to him about it. He's a huge supporter of cancer. He said, "Is there anything at King's Old School that I can support?" I described it to him, and he said, "I'm going to send you a drive shaft, mm-hmm. and I want you to raffle it off, and all the proceeds go to that man's family." Mm-hmm. And I want to say that there's not a lot of people that are out looking to give stuff away to help.
No.
And it was a super thing. And when I heard that Elvis stepped up that way for us this weekend, too, he's a super dude. So anybody out there, you're looking for a slider, he's the man to go to. I'm pushing you his way, too. There's a lot of great ones out there, but he's got a great heart.
Mike Martini in the Old Dominion truck lines, number 33, he was parked right in front of the Ski Ink booth. Mm-hmm. And he had Relay for Life decals
another
all over it.
Thing.
And man, basically it was a dollar an autograph, and you put your memorial in the car. And what it ended up being is it was a dollar dollar a tour, and everybody was learning how to build a Mopar. At the end of the day, you know, that was really cool that he stepped up for that cause, just like you were talking about E2.
Well, you know, sometimes life is about
giving back.
We don't got to be so selfish all the time. We're all so selfish, and sometimes, you know, giving back, especially to people in our own community. We are a family, yep. And you see our family helping our family, and isn't that what we all want at the end result of this, to keep going? You know, when we need it, you're going to want someone to help you. So when you have it, help somebody else, you know, and it's really nice to see guys doing that for no reason other than true heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
True heart.
Absolutely. So, Mad Mike, when's your next run?
June 26th, Mercer Grange, little local fair, and then June 27th, the next day, down at Keystone Nationals.
Oh, wow, that's pretty busy.
So you'll be able to wake up nice and sore for Keystone Nationals?
For everybody out there, Mike will be vending at King's Old School. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of guys already that want to get with Mike, but get with Mike and order some parts. He's great to get with, but when you're there, you'll love the dude. So get on there, buy some stuff from Mad Mike, and pick him up at King's Old School, any of the King's Old School guys listening.
Cool.
Mike, man, anybody else you want to make mention of?
No, just real quick back to the inspection crew, you know, what you were saying about them guys talking to the drivers, you know, as an adult. You know, Toby and Chris are so smart when it comes to the builds on these cars. You almost have to talk to them just man-to-man because you're not gonna get nothing by them.
And they don't want you to try that. You know?
I just wanted to say that real quick. Yeah, I mean, yeah, them guys are really smart when it comes to the builds of these cars.
Yeah. And Ben's right. Every derby you go to, they're going to everyone's going to argue an inspection, but it's how the inspectors handle it. These guys were so great and just not saying, like, you're wrong, you're a jerk, you're stupid. It's like, all right, well, why do you think you should have been able to do that? And then Toby's like, no, I don't like that. It says exactly this. Hey.
And it's how both parties react. Yep, it's absolutely. Not just how the inspectors react, because you could have totally dick people.
Yeah.
That just sit there and yell and scream, and then it's just...
There's a guy around here like that.
Then you just turn around. I just turn around and walk away.
Exactly.
Ben nailed it right there. If the drivers want respect for the build, they have to give it.
Yes. Yep.
You're absolutely right.
And the other side of the spectrum is, if you're going to give your inspectors and give the inspection crew and everything else a hard time about your rules and about the build of the car and everything else, don't get mad at them on the track when they're telling you to turn it up.
Absolutely.
Because they know how it's...
That's a great point. Bringing it back full circle. If they're good to you, be good to them.
Right. And that proved the point to the T down there.
Yeah.
Everybody was very cordial. Everybody got along. And when it got to get out on the track, shit got done.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
They got it done.
But then everyone shook hands. The atmosphere was so great. It's like, and there were some guys I hit so hard, and they were the first ones to come up and shake my hand.
My buddy, Zach Atkins, he tattooed that one dude. I mean, he was getting wound up. And that's the part. When you start driving aggressive and fast like that, you have to be prepared.
Yep.
And the dude, the driver's door was there. He smoked him.
You got
shut him off a
couple times, unfortunately. I mean, it wasn't intentional.
The last one, I feel bad for Zach because he was in the zone. I've been there. You know, it's like, you see red.
The first couple, the driver was playing the old driver door, I thought.
And
I mean, I would have done the same thing.
Afterwards, the crowd booed him. You know, they were waiting for stuff to fly out on the track, and the crowd was booing, and he walked off, and afterwards, he went right out, you know, made sure he walked right over and shook the guy's hand and apologized because I personally know that whole group, and they're just top notch guys.
And they like to drive hard.
And they like to drive hard. And
yeah.
And that's the thing, like Josh was saying, everybody got out, shook hands. It was a great night.
And the inspectors inspectors came up to everybody afterwards,
yes.
And they walk up and shake.
Yes.
Not one guy. They all did. So by the time you get out of your car and you're smiling, they all came. You did a great job. Thanks for coming. It's like, thank you, guys. That was cool. I appreciate that.
How about David Day? As much of an uphill battle as he had getting his car together, pulls out on the line. He's in there tinkering with a little bit of an adjustment. He told me what it was online today, and now I forgot what it was that he was adjusting. And he ended up having a heck of a day.
Mm-hmm. He started off overall. In the gas like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, then just wah.
Yeah, he was.
You know, I started off a little slower. Dave was like eating it right off the bat.
Testing his new motor.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about Tiffany Horn and that Cadillac?
I was just about to say that.
Yep.
She did awesome.
Tiffany's a past stock division.
Man, I wasn't in that heat.
She's out there with Mike Klinger, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Klinger had bad luck.
I think most of the motor issues. I mean, he's always good to watch.
Because he was going to be strong in the feature.
Absolutely.
And Brett, too. Brett broke a brand new tranny, man. He just got it, put it in. It drove great. He drove it up and down the driveway, gets out there one hit. And when you put it in gear, you just hear it like inside it.
Internally just...
Yeah, he was.
And I'm telling you, and it would have been really great to see Klinger going for a while, Brett going for a while. But that's derbying, because even the best names, you want. And again, for 25 cars in the heat or whatever we ended up with, you look at your heat and you're like, oh my god, Todd Saiopa and Klinger. But at the end of the day,
it was
they could have had bad problems. Yes. We all, you know, some of the best names. Look at Todd Saiopa in the first heat. Went one time back. If you would have looked in his car, you would have said this guy's gonna kick my ass all day. But then a carburetor fucked up and he's out.
He had trouble.
Yeah.
You know,
Christy King's at home keeping a curse count for us because I lost count.
I haven't been on in a while.
Well, Mike, man, I appreciate it. Congratulations. It was an awesome run. Way to start the tour. I mean, you got some momentum going forward. Hope you can carry it out through the finish of it.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for being on, Mike.
Thank you, dude. We'll catch up with you soon.
Take care, everybody.
Yep.
Bye.
There goes Mike. Once again, we ran down the schedule a little bit here a minute ago. What we'll do is we'll show you real quick a little bit more about what's going on with the Reckless Warrior Tour. We'll be back, and we'll be wrapping this one up. We'll be right back.
Are you good enough to be recognized as a Reckless Warrior? Bo Lockwood Motorsports 2015 Demolition Derby schedule will now be combined into the Reckless Warrior Tour, designed to give rewards and recognition to drivers that support Bo Lockwood Motorsports. The schedule starts at the 5,000 to Win Superstock Championships May 9th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. The tour then goes to the Keystone Nationals, which has moved to the Westmoreland County Fairgrounds June 27th. The Jefferson County Fair Championships follows, with the Limited World Cars back in the limelight as they chase a $3,000 payday in Brookville, with the Reckoning 2 following on August 1st at the Clarion County Fairgrounds in Clarion, Pennsylvania. The series finishes with the final encounter September 4th and 5th at the Stoneboro County Fair. In all, there is more than $75,000 in prize money available among the six shows and features some of the largest purses in the Keystone State. Drivers will earn points based on their feature appearances and heat and feature finishes, with bonuses awarded for passing inspection and getting a stick on the first try. The season will end with a points bank where Bo Lockwood Motorsports will crown the deadliest warrior. That driver will then have his selection of one of the 10 prizes from the Reckless Warrior partners. For more details on the 2015 Reckless Warriors Tour, visit their Facebook page and check out blmotorsports.net.
Another great idea. Chris, one thing before we're done.
Yes.
We talked earlier about, you know, trying to help out the guys that are overseas and so on and so forth. This is a surprise that Chris doesn't even know. I got a text here from Jason Sherman. And Jason Sherman said that he will send a care package with an smashed Empire film to every active duty military person that sends him a message on Facebook.
That's wow. Jason Sherman.
Jason Sherman.
That's awesome.
He said
Jason.
That, I said, are you sure? And, you know, because it's, I mean, that's getting out there. And he said, yep. He said, my kids love sending care packages, and I will throw in a DVD so I can get a piece of home. So anybody that's out there that's in the, you know, active duty, find Jason Sherman on Facebook and get a little bit of home sent to you guys.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he is.
Another guy,
he's
a lot
a good
of heart.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. How's that for a surprise, cool. Chris Marquardt?
Yeah, it's a great surprise.
That's very cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. Got to make sure that we make mention of Ryan Deal, who spending only his second night ever on a camera, and it's his first live stream show. Todd Height, also his second night ever and first time on a live stream show. We brought those guys down with us to get them out of town, give them a chance to see it a little bit, and make sure that Josh had his crew chief Ben available.
Ben put a lot of work in. Ben put way more work in than I did.
Awesome.
I just got a message from Bo that said Ben is no longer allowed to help you.
I should have just let Ben drive it. All the work Ben had in.
Oh.
At least then we would have known it got to the feature.
Mike Decker mentioned me. He had so much fun at Brookville. He thinks he's coming back for round two.
He's
all the way from Ohio.
You know what was awesome is Mike put a post up about
I can trump that
about being, you know, things not going good and so on and so forth. To watch him go out and run the way he did, because he was just sending that Cordova.
He was pissed.
Dude, he was pissed. Yeah. He messed with that car from the time that he got there, from the carburetor.
Everything.
To
brakes.
To brakes.
Caliper.
To
and then
tires.
Pinion seal.
And
spark plugs we put in it.
It. To fire it up and go back through reinspection, and it sounded like a John Deere B.
Sounded like
and he's
a
like,
piece
oh
of
no.
Shit.
Threw his hand up. He's like, son of a bitch.
He was pissed.
I'm not going. I don't know what to do. I can't win. So it's like, we tried a couple other things. He fired it up. Cleared up. I'm like, just send it.
He didn't have a fuel filter in.
He
says to me, he goes, I followed out a spark plug. Does anyone have a spark plug? I go, I brought a couple. Yeah, I got them. I'll change it for you. I change one. I pull it out. I go, did you put new spark plugs in this thing? Nah. I go, where are they from? He's like, I don't know. I got them when Pete had. I go, Pete hasn't run this motor in like 8 years. These spark plugs are 8 years old. Of course they followed out.
So he gets looking in there. Josh goes, you got a fuel filter on this? Because shit's getting in the carburetor because it fired up. And
yep.
It started skipping.
Yep.
And then he let it sit for a few minutes. And then he fired it back up again. And
it cleared out.
Yep.
So he's like, Josh is like going to his truck.
Mike Decker owes me $500 in parts.
Hey, Gramps. Yeah. He's like, hey, Dad, I got Gramps, I got a fuel filter. Yeah, I got a fuel filter. Hey, I got spark plugs. Hey. And then he sends Gaffin and I. Gaffin goes, hey, Ben, come with me. We got to go to the parts store. I'm like, I'm in Pennsylvania. I don't know where I am. He goes, I'll Google it. He's got his phone. All right? So we Google it, right? We make it there. Richie says, oh, yeah, it's down in a few minutes, right?
Just over the hill.
25 minutes at
no,
least.
No, seriously. 5 minutes down the road, we're in Napa. Get all the stuff. Believe it or not, they had a pinion seal for a Chevy Impala, blah, 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 blah. Get all the stuff. Gaffin goes, all right, we'll head back. I'm like, all right. And we're bullshitting the whole time. So we start to leave, get back on, and I jump off the exit. Well, I jumped off the one exit too early. So I get off. I'm retracing my turns, but not realizing I was one exit too early. No, instead of heading north, we're headed south.
Oh, that, like,
that was gone a long time.
So I go, Kevin, I'm like, Kevin,
it's
man.
It's like that time we went to Florence, Kentucky on the way to Overton.
It's like, Kevin, we're going the wrong way, man. I go, what's your phone say? Well, fuck, we're in the hills of Pennsylvania. I lost signal. You know, I'm like,
Gaffin was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
He was a blast.
Oh, my God. He's just the whole time.
Gaffin was so great.
We're talking and we get along so good because I met him years ago and just he's just a good shit. But then we finally get back and I'm like, I feel bad for Decker because he's like waiting for this stuff. And his sweat's boiling off him because it's like as hot as the face of the sun.
Never stopped working in that sun like.
And we brought the parts, and then next thing you know, we're stringing nine wire, we're twisting nine wire, and Gaff is like, come on, you're the Mopar guy, what do you got to do here? And I'm like, okay, so did that, and then
it was too late.
Josh's, and we're helping, I was just nonstop. What,
but I mean, here's the other thing about what we just saw here this weekend, big feather in the cap for Kings of Old School. Rick Clark said he's not going to get his car done for Bash for Cash, so instead he's coming to Kings of Old School.
Don't say that out loud.
I don't want to make anyone mad.
But, a lot of the drivers that we just saw run stock cars are going to be in action in one of the 67 classes here Memorial Day weekend at Bash for Cash, which we're going to be at for 3 or 4 days with the Sciopas, which is going to be an absolute ball. Russ Clark was there. We saw him taking in the show. And
he's
Tim
awesome.
Tim Clark was messaging me off and on through the show asking questions about how everything's been done and all that stuff. So then we come back from that. We catch our breath for a weekend. Then we go to Kings of Old School on the 6th. Then we got 2 weeks off.
God, I got to get built.
And then we go to Keystone Nationals again
on
the 27th. It's a very busy part of the year. And then after that, then we have all the county fairs.
I'm not hitting any of them.
The Northeast Championship.
I'm not hitting any of them.
Northeast Championship is piled in there, too, for everybody looking. If you liked the stock style stuff. There's a show out there in Brockton, Chuck Bucknam. We talked about how good he had a drive. He's a 2-time and defending champion out there.
So you know what? My old lady's been to a million derbies, right? My old lady has not stopped talking about how great of a derby it was. And my old lady she doesn't care. Everyone's the same, she says. And she must have said, like, how great. She loved it, which was actually, she said, I don't know why we keep going to these county fairs. You just need to go to ones like that. And it's like, yeah, hon, that's what I'm trying to do. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. So actually, she's supporting me. Yeah. She liked it enough where she said, like, I see the difference. Let's go here together as a family, and that's cool.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I like the fact that it was
Jesus. Sorry,
I just like I love watching the cars, the Fords that are all built and tilted and all that good stuff. But it was so awesome to go and watch a bunch of old 70 iron get jumped. Because it was, like I told Chris, I said, this is what I grew up, sorry, Josh Buell, this is what I grew up on at Waterloo. Yes. There would be 25 cars
Don't
in
tell
heat,
him, sorry.
And there would be every great old iron, Mopar, everything represented.
There was T-Bird, Suicide, Buick Lectures, Impalas, Mopars, Y-Frames,
Tyler Smay in that T-Bird.
That was tough. Somebody got over his front bumper, but I don't think the front bumper ever moved on.
I want to get one of those. I'd like to run one of them.
Very end, it started to bend, and I'm like,
yeah, that was
T-Bar's tough.
Yeah, that was a tough car. I was very impressed. Because with the rules, I wasn't sure because we've discussed about,
inches and
some things,
some cars are not that great for those rule sets.
But he proved me wrong. Yes. I didn't look at it, but I was very impressed with that wagon or that T-Bird.
It's nice to see the support because I think people were really interested. Everyone's starting to go back to stock. Bowles is like the first one. It's like, okay, let's see how this turns out. And I'm telling you, it was awesome.
This past weekend, stock went up in a couple different makes of cars. The weekend before that, the Metric Caddy started getting a lot of attention. And I talked with a couple guys who were trying some of the Metric Caddy tricks on, like, Oldsmobiles and Pontiacs from the same from the same era. So, I mean, all that talk that Demolition Derby is in trouble and it's going downhill, we just got another huge windfall of support for it and all this hope with what these 80s cars can do. And look at what we said. The Albert Lee Show was 80s and newer.
Yeah.
It was a fairly stock build, but there was some great cars there. So I mean, we're not going to run out of Crown Vics anytime soon.
No,
and now there's a resurgence of life in these metric Cadillacs, and which is going to lead to good things for the Chevys. I mean, some of these 90s Chevys are going to be.
You laughed at me. I mean, that's the evolution. Yeah. They went from the old iron cars into when the Vics first took the scene, and now the Vics seem like they're dominating the scene. So now we're trying to find a different body style, different frame to manipulate and evolve into. Everybody laughed at me last week when I said aluminum with kickers. What do you think aluminum built to a limited weld rules, aluminum built running kickers
it'd be
and
so
protectors
hard.
And everything else?
It'd be sick.
You know, yeah,
one of those compacts
had a cradle on. It's eventually going to get smoked, but let me tell you what.
It's going to be hard for a while.
For a long time. That front's going to be tough for a while.
It's going to ruin a couple people's day.
Right. But I think after you're right, you always are going to the next thing.
You're always trying to evolve to a different body style.
How about this?
Frame and,
here's something to think about. There was 81 cars that showed up for that class Saturday.
That's awesome.
And there was a lot of people in the stands watching. There was a lot of guys from New York in the stands watching.
Tons.
How many cars do you think are going to show up there next year?
Because, dude, they have two more one-shot deals with the Superstocks. I mean, it's going to be a waiting list to get into those.
Because there wasn't anything that I saw that would deter me as a builder or a driver from coming to that show.
Dude,
nothing.
That's the build I have to run now if I run.
I agree.
I can't run kicker class no more.
No.
Unless I want to be in a rascal.
No, yeah, you need
but
to go soft.
Yeah, I need to go on
soft. You need to build hard and hit soft.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to still build hard cars.
Yeah, I know. But do you want to hit soft
good.
Cars?
Good. Let's start tomorrow night at a Cadillac.
Well, I don't know if I
good.
Can do that now.
Here we go.
All right.
Oh, you're bumped. Shit.
I don't know if I can do that
son
now.
Oh,
yeah.
Bitch.
Maybe I'll wait till next
week.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, please wait till next week.
I'll wait till next week.
Son of a.
Better get cracking on it.
On the topic of next week, we're going to probably be seeing everybody again next week. We are over on time. We did have a little bit more room to work with this week, so hope everybody enjoyed the extra banter and conversation. That's going to do it for this edition. Again, thank you so much to everybody that was supporting Bull Lockwood this weekend, and make sure you turn all that attention forward a couple weeks to the Bash for Cash.
Definitely.
Ben?
Bull, incorporate a damn Mad Dog during the heat.
Okay, that's the only thing. You got to have Mad Dog, because especially in a derby like that, there were a lot of guys that deserved it, and they're the ones that the crowds were standing for, and they deserve a little something.
And I did say that to him. I pulled him aside. I'm like, Bo, there's a Mad Dog for the heat, right? He's like, no.
Ah, come on.
I got to incorporate that.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Because I have to. So he's already on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's already on it.
Here's another quick story before Chris kills me. But we're sitting there, and if, like, you know, we're checking our messages, and I'm scrolling down through messages, and Chris asked me something. I said, we're talking about the great sponsors, which we did. And I said, you know what? I said, the sponsors are awesome, and Chris was great getting their names out all night long. But I said, how about Bull, the stuff he's done, and the tour, and da-da-da. And straight, you know, completely honest how I felt. And Chris goes, yeah, he's right there. And I look, and Bo's sitting right here. And I'm like, oh, hey, buddy, what's going on? And he kind of looked at me and smiled. But I mean, it was completely, you know, I mean, it was because I had no, I'm just, like I said, scrolling down through. And
It was an authentic conversation.
I mean, it was, there, but I mean, that's the thing.
I definitely took the opportunity to make Brian turn red.
Oh, yeah, you did. And, but the thing is, I mean, we know that Bo improves from year to year.
Yep.
You imagine the improvements he'll make there and what that show's going to be next year?
Yes.
Just wait and see.
I think just improvement from this show to the next one.
Oh, yeah.
I would also like to see some more cars go to the feature. Like, instead of four, that's just a bitch of myself.
But that's the way that he has always done it.
Yes, I know,
that's
I know.
Because
I just said, yeah.
He makes it so that when you win that show, it is special.
Earned it. Absolutely right. I get that. I totally get that.
And also,
I just was one place away. I would have loved five instead of, you know what I'm saying? It's just me.
25 cars start, and you only pay $300 to start. You know, but
yeah.
I think the way that the space of the track, it works for 20 cars, and they got the points and everything.
Yep.
Awesome.
You walk away with a win in one of those shows. You absolutely earned it. Guys, that's going to do it for us. We, like I said, we are a little bit over on time, but... We enjoyed the extra conversation. Thanks so much to everybody, and we look forward. We cannot wait. Next week, we're going to be having some more conversations about the Bash for Cash, which is coming up on Memorial Day weekend. We'll be out there with the Siopas. That'll do it for us. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for watching the Crash Course Podcast, episode number 83 in the books. See you next week.
The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com, the 2015 Bash for Cash and Smash It Demolition Derby. Bull Lockwood Motorsports in the 2015 Keystone National. Siopa Racing and SiopaRacing.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it. Derby Inc.